from the BBS backroads to the information superhighway? Or where did all the BBCs go? Question mark. By fire escape with the advent of the home computer in the 1970s there arose a hobby known as BBCing. This was the beginning of a great electronic community which met and exchanged ideas over what today is, called cyberspace. Before the internet became accessible to the common person, computer bulletin boards were connecting large amounts of people to others in their local community. BBCs, as they are nicknamed, operate by allowing people to connect to another person's home computer via the local telephone lines. Since this was usually a local phone call, it was as free as calling your neighbor up to chat about the weather. Most early computer bulletin boards were on as free public hobbyist systems and they operated on great state-of-the-art BBS softwares like C64, FIDO, Opus, Sedog, GBBS and MTABS. The C64 ran on Commodore 64 machines, MTABS ran on TRS-80s, GBBS ran on Apple machines and FIDO, Opus and Sedog ran on the early IBM 8088s. This was an exciting era in the BBS world. As machines became faster and cheaper to own, more and more BBCs went online and the softwares they ran evolved to meet the needs of the people who used them. In the mid-1980s Microsoft introduced Windows to the computer world. This inevitably led to an increase in multi-node systems which could support more than one user online at a single time. Before this time, multi-node systems were much more expensive because they required one computer for each instance of the BBS and they had to be networked together through primitive methods. Microsoft allowed BBCs to open several instances of their software on the same computer. We saw new multi-line BBS softwares arise in response to this new development and, soon there were many multi-line BBCs running Aracom, DLX, Major and TBBS. Because this multi-node environment required more phone lines, many of the BBCs had to begin charging a fee for access to cover their expenses. There were now large commercial systems operating side by side with the small hobbyist systems. By the end of the 1980s the BBS hobby was rapidly spreading and the number of computer bulletin boards began skyrocketing. The boards moved off of their IBM 286S and onto the 386 which followed it in early 1990. The size of hard disks tripled and the speed of modems quadrupled in less than 5 years. This greatly impacted the BBS community and we began to see systems with huge 500 meg file bases and fast 9600 board modems. By 1992 most BBCs were moving on to 486s and had upgraded their modems to 14.4s and their hard drives to multiple gig drives. The BBS community had expanded locally to an incredible 450 systems in St. Louis alone. Due to Wayne Bell's early seeding of the BBS community here the late 1980s, by the early 90s WIF or World War IV BBS software was the most common BBS software to be found. Over 200 systems in St. Louis were running this software in 1992. Users in the BBS community would also encounter softwares such as Telegate, a WIF clone, Renegade, Wildcat, PC Board, VBBS, Remote Access and Maximus. For the next 2 years, 1992 to 1994, the BBS community would reach its maximum growth. These were the best 2 years for the local BBS community in St. Louis. Between 1992 and 1994 processors and modems became faster and cheaper. Hard drives became bigger and cheaper. BBS softwares were being written and a new hybrid version seemed to pop up every few months. Boards were bursting with users, sometimes as many as 60 people a day per node for your average system. Busy signals were a common problem during this era of BBCing. Many terminal programs now implemented the auto-redial feature which up until this point, hadn't really been necessary when calling a BBS. In early 1995, Netscape began to appear on BBCs with this description: graphical internet browser makes the World Wide Web easy to navigate. Users downloaded this file and began to spread it about. A few brave souls ventured from the BBS community onto the internet with this new innovative program called an internet browser and came back to tell us all about the wonders they'd encountered in this strange new world. Slowly over the next year, users began to explore this newly discovered alternative to BBSing. The media played up the internet and browser software began to appear left and right. By early 1996, internet providers were calling to BBSers and non-computer users from every computer magazine, newspaper and BBS. By the middle of 1996, the Great Migration, as I like to call it, was beginning to have an effect on the local BBS community. As user activity on the BBCs began to decline, SysOps became discouraged and closed up shop. The number of BBCs began to fall, first a few, then a few more and finally a landslide. By early 1997, BBCs had dwindled to a mere quarter of their previous number. Street Louis was turning into a BBS ghost town. I had given a lot of thought to the reason for the great decline in BBSing and here are my conclusions. Beginning in 1995 with the advent of web browsers, internet access became accessible to the average non-technical person. Many left the local BBS for the internet at this time. Then colleges and high schools began to hook their students up to the internet for education and this turned most of the next BBS generation onto the internet instead of onto the BBS where they were needed to replace those who were leaving it for various other reasons. If you effectively kill off a whole generation of BBS users, then there will be no one left to carry on the legacy. And that is just exactly what we have done to the BBS generation with the internet. Many people defend this as a natural and necessary part of electronic and social evolution, but that implies that the change is for the better. I am not entirely convinced that this is the case with the internet and the BBS. Some proponents of this evolution cite the larger arena of the internet as being superior to the small scale of life on a local BBS. But is bigger really better? Many people are overwhelmed and frightened by the huge vastness of the internet. These same people have probably never even heard of a BBS and have no concept of what a small electronic community can offer in terms of security and order. Is the lack of organization and security on the internet really superior to the safe haven of a BBS? Are the unmoderated discussion groups, cyber sex chats and incessant junk mail bombardments really that much better than the local BBS with its sysops, moderators and filters? I contend that it is not. The local community BBS still has a great deal to offer to the online community. In the great ocean of the internet, we can be islands of tranquility, a safe resort to hide in from the turbulence of cyberspace. However, if the local BBS is to survive into the next century, we will have to do a few things to see that it doesn't disappear into the annals of computer history. The first thing to be done is to increase the public's awareness of the local community BBS. The internet has gotten so much attention that no one ever seems to mention the BBS anymore. Write letters and articles to your local papers about the BBS community and get them interested in giving it some media. Second, support your local BBCs by calling them and if they are worthy, even donating to them. If the sysops don't think anyone cares, then why should they continue to put the effort into providing the service? Third, encourage your local BBCs to hook up to the internet so they are accessible through the World Wide Web. Many sysops are afraid to do this because they do not understand how to go about doing so. Internet access is a survival issue for local BBCs now. If the internet is like a superhighway, then we have to construct on and off ramps to the local BBCs to provide access for the majority of online users. People want a BBS which will also be an internet provider for them. Many sysops are currently just holding their breath and covering their eyes hoping that the internet will just go away and that once its novelty wears off, their users will return to their BBCs. I think this is a hollow pipe dream and that those sysops are simply deluding themselves and will in the end discover their folly in not adapting to the changing needs of their users. It is true that some of the internet users have gotten burned out and have come back to the BBS community, but this is not something I see becoming a trend. In fact, if I were to speculate on BBS trends, here are my predictions for the 1998 to year 2000 period. 1. Traditional BBS use will continue to decline. 2. Traditional BBSs will continue to disappear. 3. More BBSs will connect themselves to the internet. 4. More parents and young children will enter the old BBS community looking for an alternative to the dangerous anti-family world of the internet. 5. More G-rated safe haven family-oriented BBSs will go online. 6. There will emerge a new kind of BBS which couples internet access and availability via the www with the security, moderation and organization of the traditional BBS. Beginning in early 1997, many sysops of traditional BBSs began organizing into BBS promotion, awareness organizations to accomplish their goal of taking the BBS hobby into the next century. Many of these groups are still working towards this goal. Some of the better-known sysop user groups are Icon at http://icon.computing.com, the BBS promotion team at http://www.bbspromotion.org, and the BBS Awareness Project at http://www.carowinshaven.com/bsaware. Membership is free to all who promote BBS awareness. The main goal of these organizations is to promote BBSing as an alternative to internet surfing and to increase the public awareness regarding the local traditional BBS. So my challenge to you is this. Do you want to see the local BBS evolve into a better thing and survive this turbulent period in cyber history? Or will you let the internet engulf it and obliterate it forever? It's up to you. You are the consumer, the buyer and the computer user. It is for you that these things have been created and because of you that they still exist. Consider carefully the choices you make in this matter. Do you want your children to grow up on the internet where there is no sysop to watch over their shoulder when you can't, without the local BBS? That's your only alternative and it's not one that I consider very good. It is my hope that you will hear and receive this message in the spirit it is intended. The BBS is dying and you are its last best hope. Save it. For more info, contact Fireescape at FireescapesBBS. Dial up 314588807800 Telnet, bbs.fec.org Email, fire.escape@fec.org World Wide Web, http://www.fec.org To contact Icon, visit http://icon.computing.com/ To contact the BBS promotion team, visit http://www.bbspromotion.org To contact the BBS Awareness Project, visit http://www.carowinshaven.com/bsaware/. You can also get a listing of BBSs anywhere in the country from the directory at http://www.thedirectory.org.